and USA Radio News. I'm Richard Stewart. A male student went on a stabbing spree at a community college in northwest Houston on Tuesday, injuring at least 14 people.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ambassador Henry Cooper, who was the American ambassador to the Soviet disarmament talks during the Reagan administration and the first part of the first Bush administration. And Ambassador Cooper now heads an organization known as iFrontier back in Washington, D.C., where they talk about matters dealing with America's defense. Well, this evening, I've asked Ambassador Cooper to come on with us again because of my concern about what's happening with North Korea. Now, it doesn't appear that there's too much concern after all. Why would North Korea want to risk certainly annihilation by attacking the United States? And so much of everything that's going on today is being played down. But logic tells me that we're not dealing with necessarily rational people there. And there are people who hate America throughout the world and would love to see this nation humbled. And basically, of course, we find that North Korea has told the people in the embassies there and their capital of North Korea that they should leave because after tomorrow, they'll not be able to guarantee their safety. They've said the same thing to diplomatic personnel in South Korea to anticipate the hostilities. Certainly, North Korea has actually done away with the armistice that's been in effect for 60 or more years, and now it declares itself in a state of war with South Korea and the United States. And people say, well, this is just a lot of foolishness, and well, maybe it is, but what if it isn't? Certainly, they've sealed the border between North and South Korea before, where a number of people from South Korea could go north into an area there where they had almost 100,000 people, 50 to 100,000 people working, North Koreans and South Koreans. It was sort of an industrial site, one of the major sources for North Korea's getting hard currency, and that's been sealed off. And basically, certainly the military and North Korea is on alert that they're moving their missiles around. And well, let's get Ambassador Cooper's view of this. So, Ambassador Cooper, most people seem to think that this is not too much to be concerned about. It'll simply pass. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I agree with you, Stan, Dr. Stan. I think that well, North Korea's capabilities are more important than many people give them credit for being. We don't know, of course, in great detail what they've accomplished in their development of the nuclear weapons because everything is held in such secret confines there. But we know that they have had at least three tests. Their low-yield nuclear test. Most people think that, therefore, they haven't really developed a great capability because you need large-yield nuclear weapons to attack us. And they've also developed ballistic missiles, a family of ballistic missiles, and people take comfort in the fact that most of them probably couldn't reach the United States except for Hawaii and Alaska. The point, though, is that there are serious effects that can be created by low-yield weapons, the electromagnetic pulse, which I know you've talked with your listeners about. And if they launch the missiles to the south and put satellites in orbit, then they can hit us from the south. That is, the missiles coming south to north when they reach the United States, and our defenses are not arrayed to defend against them. So it's a very serious problem from a technical point of view, in my opinion.
Well, basically, we've talked to some people who really have studied this a great deal, and people like Peter Pry, who says that North Korea has been working on this concept of electromagnetic pulse for a weapon for a long period of time, and we'll talk about that when we get back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enamel number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ambassador Cooper was simply talking about the possibility of an electromagnetic pulse attack. Now, the North Koreans have been basically been working at this for some time. They certainly have intermediate and short-range missiles, but they also have the ability for long-range missiles, but they couldn't actually hit America from North Korea. But certainly they were able to put up a three-stage missile and circulate a satellite. And if they were to do that, why should they? And they were to launch that from north to south, in other words, over the pole coming in America from the north. We have no defense, certainly, against a missile coming in from the North Pole. And if it were to detonate over Lincoln, Nebraska, or certainly we'd be in real trouble, or something right over the center of the United States. And of course, if that should happen, why, it could knock out our grid, electronic grid. And if that were to happen, then the question is, would we have the ability militarily to respond? Some people say, oh, our military is hardened, but would we be able to communicate? Would knock out the GPS, would knock out many of the satellites? Certainly, if they were to explode a nuclear device 300 miles above America, it would take out most of the electronics, both satellite, GPS, and the other things here in the United States. And Ambassador Cooper, having studied this and having written about this and putting out his regular emails on this, is trying to warn people that this could be a disaster. And it's almost as if so many of our leaders just don't believe it could happen. But you were just saying, what would happen as far as our population if there were to be an electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States?
Well, very shortly, we'd run out of food and medicine. People would die for the lack of sustainment. We'd have, chaos. In our society, and the best judgment of people who've thought about this is that maybe two-thirds of the American people would perish within a year's time. The power grid, for example, the critical element are a bunch of very large transformers that we don't build in this country. They're built in South Korea and Germany. And if we lose the transportation systems, then, you know, it will be many months before we could get transformers to replace the ones that were damaged in such an attack. I want to make one thing clear, Dr. Stan. You mentioned the attack coming from the north and over the North Pole. Our defenses are arrayed to try to deal with that kind of attack. And the admiral in charge of our Pacific forces today testified before Congress that our defenses would be do very well against an attack out of North Korea. And he's thinking about them coming over the North Pole, and he's probably correct. But the problem is that when North Korea launches the satellites, they launch them to their south. So they go over the South Pole, and they come toward the United States from the south, and they are headed north. And that's why I refer to it as the back door. We don't have our warning systems, and we don't have our tracking systems arrayed to defend against that kind of an attack. So the interceptors that we have in Alaska and California might not be able to be queued up in time to intercept the satellite coming toward the United States from the south, over South America, over the Gulf of Mexico, and so on. And so that's why I refer to it as the back door. We've left the back door open. North Korea launches that way to avoid their missiles falling on populated areas. They're launching over the ocean. And this is normal. This is the way people look at it, and they think they're having trouble launching their satellite. But they've now been successful over the past year in putting up a couple of satellites weighing a little over 200 pounds, and we can imagine nuclear weapons that would fit within that envelope. Our naval ICBMs, or ballistic missiles, launched from submarines that carried warheads of a few hundred kilotons yield that weighed 200 pounds or so. So it is entirely possible that you can build such a weapon. Furthermore, during the Cold War, some 40 years ago, we designed something called a neutron bomb in this country. People may remember that there was a big political furor when we were prepared to deploy it in Europe during the Cold War, and President Carter canceled that program. That's a very lightweight warhead, generates lots of radiation, neutron, and the whole point of the weapon in those days was to kill people with radiation while not destroying the physical infrastructure of the country. If that weapon, same weapon, were carried as an enhanced radiation weapon above the Earth's atmosphere, then it could create an electromagnetic pulse. Not a very big yield. It could be done. And as Peter Pry has spoken, and as the EMP Commission, I believe, has testified and included in their report, we know that at least Russia and China have been developing such weapons, and we believe that North Korea has been working on them as well. And their young leader, Kim, recently was talking about their miniaturized weapon. Whether that's accurate or not, I don't know. That's just what he's claimed, and I don't have access to our best intelligence these days, but it's entirely plausible, I assure you.
Well, I've talked to Michael Maloof, and I know you know Michael, worked for the Defense Department for 30 years, and he says that the people in the Defense Department, and his words were, are very quietly very concerned about the possibility of an EMP attack on the United States. But, of course, we have no real effective defense against it. That's the problem, especially when we're talking about a missile going up 300 miles above the United States, or a satellite carrying one of these small miniaturized weapons that would actually be able to release not necessarily a large blast, but a large amount of gamma radiation, because it's the gamma radiation that knocks out the grid, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It interacts with the Earth's geomagnetic field, and the consequence of that interaction is to create what is referred to as an electromagnetic pulse. And it has several components, and I don't want to try to get too technical over, with your audience here, but one component is a very long wavelength pulse, and it resonates, if you will, with the long lines that connect the power plant throughout the country. And so the energy propagates to those power plants and can potentially seriously damage beyond repair the transformers that are critical to the operation of our electric power. And so we could have the whole grid go down initially, perhaps in just a few places, but we know from sad experience that the grid cascades, failures cascade over fairly substantial areas. We've had that happen before. So it's a serious problem. I mean, we can lose the sustaining capabilities of the country. High-frequency components of the electromagnetic pulse can cause critical damage to all sorts of electronics. SCADAs, they're called. They're little computers that are pervasive throughout our system. Your automobile could stop working because anymore the electronic system within the automobile involves these little computers. And the damage can be such that it can't be easily repaired, so we could be without the transportation there. And that sort of thing could happen with all sorts of components. It could happen in satellites. It could happen, our communication satellites and various and other systems as well. And I assume most people know anymore that all of our weapon systems, or many of them, depend on GPS as well. And whether those systems have been hardened sufficiently to deal with this kind of a threat is problematic.
Well, Grace, we know certainly that we do not seem to have an effective defense. In other words, if one of these bombs were to go off and the gamma rays were to come down, the grid has not been protected. My understanding was that they've known about this going back probably 13, 15 years or more, and there ought to be breakers in the line so that if there was an attack, these gamma rays would not go over the electric lines and burn out the transformers. Wouldn't it be fairly easy with an expense of a few billion dollars to have corrected this thing a decade ago?
Well, I believe whether a decade ago, it was well enough known and understood by the general public. I don't know, but certainly since the EMP Commission reported on this initially in 2006, Congress understood. Many in the Congress began to understand this. And then in 2008, the reports, much of the report was made declassified, made open source, so it's available to anyone. It's on the web. It's on our web page. You can go to www.highfrontier.org, and you can get it from that. And if you just Google EMP Commission, you will likely come up with the reports and with the congressional testimony of Bill Graham, who chaired that commission, and very notable scientists that were involved in that work. So it's been well known, and it's been blocked by two Congresses. Every 2 years the Congress changes. Legislation to begin try to deal with this issue was initially blocked after it had passed in the House by voice vote. Everyone voted for it. It was blocked by a single senator, and then last year they couldn't get it out of the Energy and Commerce Committee. It was blocked by the chairman. And who knows why.
Well, I think that's a big question. Why aren't we protected? I mean, we spend so much money on defense, and yet the defense of America, why, of course, we're not being defended effectively. Our guest is Ambassador Henry Cooper, and we're going to be back in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
At 888-24-LIBERTY, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And of course, Ambassador Cooper has said that certainly the Congress was very, very concerned about this. You can go to his website, highfrontier.org, is it, or .com.
org.
Highfrontier.org, and you can get these congressional committee reports. There was a one committee was it was reported in 2006 and then 2008. There's several reports there that you can get from Congress, the Congressional Commission, that looked into this, and they were very, very concerned. Now, it is not simply a nuclear bomb that would set this off, but of course, certainly a solar flare could do this, the so-called Carrington effect. This happened back in 1859 with this massive solar storm sending massive gamma rays to America in 1859. It knocked out the telegraph all across the country, but we didn't have electricity. We didn't have an electric grid at that time. So basically, they were able to repair this and get the telegraph working again. But today, we are totally dependent upon electricity for communication, for our trucks, for our cars, for our industry, simply for almost every aspect of our lives, and you knock out that electric grid, and you severely undercut the stability of a nation. And Ambassador Cooper was simply pointing out that you have these major storms every few years, and right now we're approaching this 2013 would be the peak of this cycle. Could this thing happen spontaneously? And if it happens spontaneously, we do not have effective defense against it. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane. John, do you have a question for our guest?
I've got two quick ones. The first one is, who was the senator that blocked it?
I'm told it was Senator Murkowski.
And what state is
she's from Alaska. And she is the senior senator from Alaska, and she's the ranking member on the Senate Energy Committee.
And we don't know why she did that, John, but we do know that she did it. You had another question.
The other question is, with the size of our military-industrial complex and the size of, and what we have in terms of technology, DARPA and all the other things, I can't even imagine that this would not be a fixable thing unless they don't want to fix it. Literally, they want it to happen.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, and it's not so easily fixed, I suppose. There are things that you can do in the way of Faraday cages, of shielding a whole host of equipment to work on the prevention side of the issue. And certainly that is well known. You don't need the advanced technology to do this. We worried about this problem in the Cold War because it was clearly a strategy that we anticipated the Russians would use against us. If they ever attacked the United States, they would first set off high altitude explosions with the intention of destroying our ability to communicate with our strategic forces. And we spent a lot of money and a lot of time assuring that the president had that option, that he could communicate with the strategic forces and launch them in retaliation. We did not, during that period, try to harden the civil structures and the electric power grid and you know, in the private sector. It was considered to be too pervasive to do this, so we worked on what was referred to as a minimum critical path for all of this, the MECON. It was called the Minimum Low Critical Communication System or something like that. And we know what to do. This is not something that requires advanced technology. And the other side of this, if we don't do it, it's also, I think, easy to understand what North Korea, Iran, or these other countries could get out of attacking this way. They would take us down to size. They would reduce us to the same desperate straits that the people of North Korea in general have. It would be a great equalizing force. It's called an asymmetric attack by people who worry about this class of strategies. So I think it's understandable why the North Koreans might be interested in it. The issue of whether or not the power structure there would be sufficiently fearful that we would kill them, that we would destroy their ability to control their own system, is a valid point of view, I think, but with a guy that seems to be semi-rational like Kim in charge, and some of his generals seem to be prepared to go down this dangerous road further than we'd like. I'm not comfortable with this, with the current situation at all.
And of course, Ambassador Cooper's also mentioned the very real danger that North Korea is working with Iran. Is that a factor as well?
I think it is. Iran has been present at the underground test, and they've been present, and they have shared technology.
Hold that thought, please. And most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Ambassador Henry Cooper, and he was just saying that our intelligence agencies have made serious mistakes in the past, and basically, they've said things that just were not accurate. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the possible destruction of the United States, and certainly our intelligence agencies don't seem to be as worried about the threat of an EMP attack, either from Iran or from North Korea, from both of them, but they are working together, and there's a great deal of evidence that both Iran and North Korea are working in conjunction and both of them have said that they will, under the proper circumstances, destroy the United States. In fact, simply within the last 2 weeks, one of the Ayatollahs over there in Iran who said, "This is the year when America is going to be destroyed." That was his statement, and you can look it up on the Internet. Okay, fine. Well, let's quickly go over here to Michael calling us from Flint, Michigan. Michael, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I got two or three of them.
We just got one because we got a board full, but you ask your most important question, please.
Most important one. Why don't we shoot down a satellite what makes us so sure that Iran doesn't have the bomb? How can they keep saying they don't have the bomb when the Russians probably already gave them the bomb.
We don't know the Russians have given them the bomb. Let's ask the question.
How can you say that they don't have it?
All right, fine. Let's ask the question. We certainly are told that the Iranians do not have a nuclear bomb. How can we be absolutely certain of that? Is there any way we can be absolutely certain, Henry?
Well, I have my doubts, and that was the point I was trying to get at. We thought that Iraq was a long way from having the bomb in 1990, and then after we won that war, if you will, in 100 days, and we had people go over and look, it was the judgment of qualified people that they were within 6 months of having nuclear bomb in Iraq. I think the fact the intelligence community misjudged that was part of the reason they misjudged it the other way. When George Bush, George W. Bush, made the decision to go in thinking that they had weapons of mass destruction. The community was wrong in the other direction in that case. When we got in, we found they were nowhere near having a nuclear weapon. But we've had Pearl Harbors before, and we'll have them again, and I worry that we may be on the threshold of something like that with Iran. The only thing that gives me a little bit of comfort is that the Israelis apparently are somewhat relaxed. They're not relaxed, but they're less concerned than I would have thought they would have been if Iran were really very close. They have pretty good intelligence. On the other hand, Iraq fooled them in 1990, and I don't know whether Iran is fooling them now.
Okay, Brian, thanks very much for calling, Michael, and let's go to before we get to our next guest, and that'll be, I think, David from Central New York. Let's go ahead and get the information out about how people get in touch with your organization there in Washington, D.C., with High Frontier. How can they get in touch with you? Get your information, get your regular emails.
Well, just go to our webpage. It's the simplest thing to do. It's www.highfrontier.org, all one word, and it's case neutral. Our offices are at 500 North Washington Street in Alexandria, Virginia, 22314. And telephone number there is 703-535-8774. And the folks will get messages to me. But I repeat, the easiest way to do it is to use the web.
Now, one more time. You always get the telephone number out twice because people never get it the first time. So
right.
One more time, the telephone number there in Virginia.
703-535-8774. And my assistant is Michelle Fowler. She'll be answering the phone.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get the information that comes from High Frontier. They're on the front lines. And Ambassador Cooper is sending out almost weekly emails. And they're fascinating. Especially now, I really am very, very concerned about what's going on. I don't think most people are, but I really think that we, you know, there may be nothing to worry about. But if we're wrong, why, it would devastate our country. We're talking about the destruction of the entire infrastructure of America as we know it. And so I think that we should be concerned. Well, let's go to David calling us from Central New York. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And David from Central New York, thank you for calling. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Ambassador Cooper, I'm wondering if there's any advantage to an EMP attack on us, sending up a missile on the east and the west coast simultaneously. That is to say, is there any intelligence that there might be cooperative effort between Russia and China, one to pick one coast and one to do it on the other simultaneously? Would that be more devastating and also confuse us as to who did it, who we should retaliate against?
Well, it's certainly plausible that you could be attacked from either the east or the west, and we can be attacked from the south. One that really worries me is missiles launched from ships off of our coast. They could be on, regular ships, not necessarily warships. They could launch scuds that would be detonated at altitude and create EMP effects over substantial areas. and they can do that from the Gulf of Mexico, and we have absolutely no defense against attacks from the south of that sort. I would note that a single weapon, you don't need many, a single weapon that is set off about 300 miles altitude over the center of the United States would create this effect over the entire country. If you go to our webpage and read the email report from 2 weeks ago, I have pictures in there that show, and they're not new. I think it's a late 90s picture, 1997, of the reach, the extent of an electromagnetic pulse as a function of altitude of a substantial weapon, an EMP-capable weapon. And at 300 miles altitude, you cover from coast to coast.
Okay, anything else, David?
Could the Korean situation be set up by Russia or China to divert all our attention to Korea, and therefore we could be struck on the east and the west coast at the same time? Or
in other words, basically, could this be a subterfuge to focus our attention on North Korea, where it was really Russia and China behind it? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, sir.
Well, right. I worry in particular about China on that. China's been the great supporter for North Korea since the Korean War. And China, it's reported anyway, has been trying to slow Kim and his generals down without much success recently. I don't know whether to believe those reports or not, but that has been the report. And I think it's fair to think about these kinds of considerations as you mentioned them.
I think, David, we're just going to have to wait and see, but try to get people at least to be concerned. And whether anything's going to happen, we don't know, but people should be prepared just in case. Because if it does happen and people are unprepared, you're going to see chaos unparalleled during your lifetime, okay?
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless. Again,
our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Ambassador Henry Cooper,
and we have Joe calling from New Jersey. Hi, Joe. How are we doing?
Fine, Dr. Stan. Excuse me. I have this particular scenario in my mind, and it's going to be basically predicated on on your guest's answer, and you as well, Dr. Stan. If, in fact, I'm going to put this as a scenario out there. Supposing we get a coronal mass ejection first, okay? And the way you're describing this type of energy, whether it be from the sun or whether it be from a nuclear weapon that would incapacitate any country's ability to electronically control weapons of mass destruction. So let's say, let me do that as a question. So if there were to be a coronal mass ejection, would that disable any country's ability to launch nuclear weapons?
I hesitate to answer because I don't know where we stand in hardening our systems today. But during the Cold War, we worked very hard to be sure that our command and control system and our ICBMs and bombers and sea-launched ballistic missiles would function if they were exposed to an EMP attack. We did not worry. Well, worry is not the right word. We didn't harden the electric power grid, the civil infrastructure of this country. We bet everything during the Cold War on a concept called mutual assured destruction. We didn't try to protect the American people. What we did was we threatened to destroy the Soviet Union if they ever attacked us or our allies. And there was something called extended deterrence. If the Soviets were to attack Western Europe at the time, we vowed that we would respond by attacking Russia. So it was a strategy that was set up to threaten a mutual suicide pact, if you will, and therefore maintain the peace. There were various analogies that were given, putting two scorpions in the bottle and so on. But we didn't harden the commercial power structure. What we did harden was our ability to launch ballistic missiles and bombers and nuclear attacks. So it's entirely plausible to the way I think about things that while we might lose our civil society, the nuclear weapons might still work, and that might be the case for us and Russia and China, because these matters that we're discussing are not big secrets. I mean, the technology is available to deal with the issue. We just haven't in this country. We have not hardened our civil structure.
And I think that is, of course, something that was a terrible, terrible mistake. We should have hardened our civil structure to protect the American people, because, of course, now they have the possibility of an attack from a small country, not from Russia or China. Or if it were from Russia and China, it would be using a surrogate like North Korea. But under any circumstances, I believe there's a very, very real possibility that something could happen and we would have no defense. And, of course, really, we do not know. Everything is top secret. Everything is concealed. We don't know whether certainly we'd be able to launch our missiles, Joe. We're just going to have to wait and see and hope and pray that this doesn't come down. Because if it did come down, why, believe me, the world as we know it would cease to exist. And I'm not talking about something going to happen sometime in the very, very distant future. There's a very real possibility that if something does happen, I'm not saying it's going to, but if something's going to happen, it could happen within a month or two or maybe even less. Anyway, anything else, Joe?
Well, yeah, because what I'm beginning to wonder, and I don't know whether my scenario was rightly spoken to, because if we should have, since we're so electronically sophisticated to be able to do things like this, if we should have a coronal mass ejection from the sun, that would probably knock out our electronically sophisticated system totally, so where no country would be able to cause such damage to each other. And then that to me is like God stepping in and putting a stop to this.
Well, let me ask you, Ambassador Cooper, if there were to be a massive coronal attack, solar flares on the sun, wouldn't it simply be the nations on that were exposed to the sun at that time? In other words, if it hit the United States, why, it probably wouldn't hit China on the other side of the globe, or if it hit China, it wouldn't hit the United States. Would that be a fair assessment, or do we really know?
I think there, you know, it may be that way, and there are mass ejections that do happen, and they go off and, you know, in a different direction than Earth. I mean, it's periodically the ejection comes toward the Earth, and of course the way the world is turning will indicate who gets the brunt. You'll know perhaps a day or so in advance where it's going to strike, so people can deal with the issue. But let me just say that it is possible to harden our electric power grid to the solar storm. And in fact, the SHIELD Act and others who are worrying about this issue are focused on protecting themselves against the solar emissions rather than the nuclear weapon. And that's a political decision people are making. The folks up in Maine, there are Andrea Boland in particular, one of the representatives up there, is working very hard to try to get their power system that they're modernizing right now hardened to deal with the solar emissions. And if they do that, then that will be an important step forward to hardening against the nuclear attack.
In other words, if there's a nuclear attack, you want to be living in Maine or New England.
Well.
Anyway, thanks very much for calling, Joe. And let's quickly go to John calling us from Central New York. John, do you have a question or comment?
Just an observation. The idea of nuclear attack on the United States, number one, we had 9/11. Was printed on the $20 bill 5 years prior to 9/11. On a $10 bill right now, if you fold it as a military Air Force bag, you can see that they're nuke the Federal Reserve building, that all the other buildings in Washington have radiation in the air. If you remember, about 5 years ago, they threw 7 nuclear warheads across the United States loaded, and those 7 captains that had that were able to get that information out ended up dying on the tarmac that day.
Okay, fine.
Okay. Pardon me?
Go.
Another thing that attaches to that is that the Chinese shot that missile off in response to us shooting down that French airliner. There was a picture on the internet of the French airliner, the people that shot down taking a picture of themselves, and you could see that the tail section was blown off that French airliner.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, John. And so, of course, we're inviting questions for Ambassador Cooper rather than lectures. But anyway, Ambassador Cooper, we're drawing close to the end of the program. What is the message you'd like to get out to our listeners across America?
Well, I would urge your listeners to get involved, understand what you can about these effects, and encourage your representatives to deal with them. It is a fact that no one is in charge of dealing with this issue. That's a big problem. The Department of Homeland Security doesn't even include an EMP attack among the dozen or so scenarios that they require all of the agents of the government to deal with. So if DHS would take it on, that would be very important. The DOD doesn't do it because they don't do homeland defense. They only do, you know, military things. And the Department of Energy, where a lot of expertise is, could do something with this, but they are not responsible in a serious way. By direction, they're not responsible. They could be responsible if so ordered.
Hold that thought. But ladies and gentlemen, basically this is a very important issue.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto self. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoyed the conversation with Ambassador Cooper. If you can enjoy somebody who's saying that we could be destroyed as a nation within a matter of a couple of weeks, but Ambassador Cooper has said everybody's going to have to decide what they're going to do. He recommends people read a book called One Second After. When I've read it, it's an excellent book. But the major thing is to have water and food and medical supplies, and basically everybody has to think about what they would do, and certainly you would not want to be in the major cities. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very real threat to the survival of America, and what are we worried about? Why, we want to disarm the American people, or we want to protest against the death of those 20 children who died because there weren't any guns there in Newtown, Connecticut, the Fraternity Kids at the Sandy Hook School, to protect the children. So we want to disarm everybody so nobody will be able to protect themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a CD set called The Threat of an EMP Attack. That's The Threat of an EMP Attack. We have a talk given by our guest this evening, Ambassador Henry Cooper, and basically he goes into a great deal of detail about all the intricacies of this, and after hearing his program a couple of times, his talk a couple of times, why, Chris, you'll be an expert on this field. And the title is The Threat of an EMP Attack, Ambassador Henry Cooper. We carry the book A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof. A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof, who for 30 years was certainly in the Defense Department when he resigned a couple of years ago. He was actually the senior advisor reporting directly to the Undersecretary of Defense. And now, of course, he's working and writing for WorldNet Daily. And you can get his articles there on a regular basis. We've interviewed him recently. And he shares Ambassador Cooper's concern, Peter Pry's concern, and my concern. And I hope your concern. What we need to do is start talking about this and telling people, look, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're not dealing with rational people in North Korea. And what nobody's really talking about is, I think sort of Joe alluded to it, and that is the fact that North Korea is a surrogate for China. And China can say, oh, we did told them not to go ahead and launch an EMP attack on America. But I don't believe it for one minute. I believe what Korea is doing today is done with the full knowledge and cooperation of both Russia and China. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have the 2004 Congressional Commission report. It's nicely bound. You can get that from us. You can get certainly the book, A Nation Forsaken. You can get the DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. You can get the book on DVD on the threat of an EMP attack. In other words, it's a 4-CD set, and there's a DVD, and we recommend them all. You need to get the information, and you need to help us get this information out across America. Talk to people. Call your local sheriff and ask him if he is prepared, and he should have a posse, because, of course, we would see the total breakdown in the structure of society. And suddenly talk to your local officials and explain to them this is not an imaginary threat. It's a very real threat, and it will exist until such time as the government in North Korea is replaced or until the unthinkable should happen, and I hope it doesn't. But, ladies and gentlemen, I am very deeply concerned. As you know, I've been studying this for 50 years, and I've never really been as concerned as I am. As of tomorrow, why, of course, North Korea has announced it can no longer be safe to be a diplomat in North Korea. They've told foreigners to get out of South Korea. Their military is on the alert. They have the largest military in the world. They have 1.1 million soldiers. They have an 8 million man reserve. America has 1.2 million soldiers and a 1 million man reserve. And basically, of course, everything is in place for an attack on South Korea. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it'll just be a regular military attack. Maybe it'll be forgotten. Or maybe we're dealing with people who have a different worldview. And maybe God is going to bring his judgment on America. Under any circumstances, our number 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
As we raise our voices.
this is Dr. Stan, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Conley, and we're going to be talking about the Obama administration attitude towards veterans of men who've gone off to fight for freedom and they've returned home here. Many of them certainly have some nervous problems. Some of them have post-traumatic stress. Many of them don't have post-traumatic stress at all. But the government's moving to take away their right to have bear arms, so it's all right to go overseas to fight for freedom. But when you get home here, you're not going to have the right to fight for freedom at all. It seems like there's an organized effort to disarm America's military veterans. Michael, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you just go ahead, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you're concerned, and why should basically, is this a logical thing to do? Do we want people with post-traumatic stress having the right to keep and bear weapons, or what's this really all about?
Well, I'm a constitutional attorney, and I'm a U.S. Army veteran. I currently have 2 sons serving. My oldest son is in Afghanistan at the moment. My youngest is a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. And I served 2 terms as commander of an American Legion post. So I'm very familiar with veterans and their issues. And I'm now executive director of the United States Justice Foundation. Now, we are an organization that for 35 years has been defending the Constitution of this country, defending constitutional rights across the board, everything in the Bill of Rights. But my special expertise has always been the Second Amendment. And I worked on cases on the Second Amendment both in and out of courtroom for years and years. What we have here is something that's absolutely unbelievable. I learned about it a couple of months ago, and basically I heard from a veteran that, or several veterans, that told me that they were getting letters from the VA that basically said that they were going to be declared incompetent to handle their VA funds, and a fiduciary was going to be appointed to represent them. Now, this program started years ago with the VA, and was designed to help older veterans who might have dementia and who might not be able to handle their VA payments for, you know, various reasons like dementia. And so usually the VA would appoint a family member to do it for them. And if there wasn't a family member available, they would appoint someone else. Well, the veterans that are getting this letter now are not necessarily elderly veterans. These are younger veterans. And basically they're getting a letter, and I'll read the first paragraph to you because it says that I've got dozens of these letters that I've seen. It says, "We have received information showing that because of your disabilities, you may need help in handling your Department of Veterans Affairs VA benefits." Now, then it goes on, but they don't really tell them where the information came from or what their disability is. I mean, they're not saying, is it PTSD or is it something else? Until you go to another paragraph that says, "This evidence indicates that you are not able to handle your VA benefit payments because of a physical or mental condition." A physical condition. Does that mean that a veteran who's lost an arm or a leg fighting in Afghanistan or Iraq is going to be deemed incompetent? That's exactly what apparently is happening. But then the worst part of it comes later. First of all, there's no due process here. Everything at this point is on the veteran. They have to go out and hire an independent doctor to examine them and write to the VA and say, this person is competent to handle their affairs. If the VA doesn't accept that, they have to hire the veteran has to hire their own attorney, and they have to fight it. And it's an expensive, long process. But then it says, what happens if you're declared incompetent? Well, it says that if we decide you're unable to handle your VA funds, then you are going to be declared incompetent, and if you have a declaration of incompetency, and I'm quoting here.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Michael.
A declaration of incompetency will
prohibit you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, or transporting a firearm or ammunition. If you knowingly violate any of these prohibitions, you may be fined, imprisoned, or both, pursuant to the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act. So veterans are being told that they can be found incompetent to handle their VA funds on virtually any grounds that the VA decides. There's no judicial process here. In any state in the union, if somebody wants to declare you incompetent to handle your own affairs, they have to file a petition with the court. There has to be a hearing in front of a judge. An attorney has to be appointed to represent you if you can't afford one. And the judge has to determine your incompetence. Here, VA bureaucrats are allowed to determine if somebody's incompetent. And then, regardless of what the reason is, like I said, a loss of an arm or a leg, you're automatically put on the NICS list, the background check list, and you cannot purchase firearms. Not only that, but you can't even possess firearms. They are threatening to come take firearms away from veterans who have had them for years. This is incredible. They are attacking America's heroes, the people who have fought for us, and now they're coming home, and the Obama administration, and this is accelerated under the last 3 years, the wording they're using is a 2007 amendment that was passed to the NICS list provisions that basically said that veterans could be put on the list if they are found to be mentally incompetent and a threat to themselves or others. This is not the criteria the VA is using. They've decided that that criteria means that they can declare a veteran incompetent for any reason whatsoever, and once they do that, they go on this list.
No, basically, can you demand a jury trial?
No. No, there's no due process here. There's no court hearing at all.
Well, then can't you demand due process? I mean, basically, they haven't simply done away with due process. Why can't you demand it and simply insist, I want a trial?
Well, the veterans that try to do this, because this gets worse, the veterans that try to fight them are now having their funds cut off. The VA says, okay, if you dispute this, if you try to fight us, then we will cut off your funds. I've got one veteran out there. He and his family have $17,000 owed to them right now because they have tried to fight this. And the way it's set up is you have to go through administrative proceedings first, then you can go to court. Well, we're prepared at the United States Justice Foundation. I have a staff attorneys working on this. We're going to go to court.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Michael Connelly. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply saying that basically what happens if you are suddenly, have already been decided, the bureaucrats have decided that you're a veteran, and suddenly you have a disability of some sort, and therefore you are not going to be allowed to have weapons, and if you do, why, of course, you'll be in real trouble, and they'll even send people out to take your weapons away. But and then, of course, you are not entitled to a jury trial. You don't have a right to a hearing, and you need an attorney. And that's what Michael Connelly and his organization are doing, is providing the legal representation to demand a trial. Now, he has one veteran, Sydney, got a number of children, a large family, and they've, Sydney, what happens is if you contest anything that the Veterans Administration says along this line, then they cut off your funds. So this veteran, they owe him $17,000, and they're just saying, you contested it, we're not going to give you any more money. You got to go along with it, or we're going to cut off your funds. So where do we stand on this one case you're talking about, Michael?
Well, it's one of a number of cases we're looking at because the horror stories. I wrote an article on my blog about this about 2 months ago. And since that time, the horror stories have been pouring in. And let me say to any veterans out there listening, if you've received this letter, if you've been declared incompetent or they're threatening to declare you incompetent, contact the United States Justice Foundation at usjf.net. Ask to talk to me, and it may be a couple of weeks before I get to you because, like I said, these are pouring in. But we are going to be representing veterans around the country for free. There will be no charge. We raise our money to finance a litigation like this through independent sources. We ask people to donate to us, so there will be no charge to veterans or their families. We've got plaintiffs right now, potential plaintiffs, in states all over the country. And what we intend to do here is we intend to go in and fight for these rights because we got one veteran, for example, who is an elderly Vietnam veteran. Well, I'm an elderly veteran from that period of service. And he was found incompetent because he went into the VA and he told them that, you know, I'm getting a little older and sometimes I forget to pay my bills on time. Well, I'm 65 years old. I can't find my glasses half the time. Does that mean they're going to declare me incompetent? We have the wife of a veteran who's getting VA, or a deceased soldier getting VA benefits, and they declared her incompetent because she said that she had set up most of her bills to be paid through automatic bill pay. We've got other veterans who have declared incompetent because they have minor PTSD issues or because they have told the VA that, you know, hey, I got back from Afghanistan. I lost a couple of good friends over there. I'm a little depressed about it. Bang, that triggers the letter, and that gets the incompetency declaration. So what we're doing is we're putting together the resources to try to fight on behalf of these veterans. We're probably going to be filing some administrative claims. We're going to be filing a class action suit, at least one. And we're going to be representing veterans around the country. And we're going to try to get this stopped because it's just unbelievable. There are 21 million veterans in this country. As of right now, we understand 150,000 of them have been found incompetent and put on the list of people that cannot own firearms, cannot purchase firearms. 99% of them, we believe, do not belong on that list. This, to me, is something, an action by the Obama administration that goes along with the whole gun control idea of disarming the American people. And that is not what the Second Amendment is about. The Second Amendment was adopted by our forefathers because they had just fought a long and bloody war to get our freedom from Great Britain. They were setting up a new form of government. They did not know if it was going to work. They did not know if it would be successful or if some new tyranny would emerge. They wanted the American people to be armed so they could fight tyranny if necessary. I think you have people in the Obama administration who are very concerned because of the fact that they are rapidly trying to take away our freedoms and turn this country away from a constitutional republic into a socialist republic of some kind, socialist or communist country, that they're afraid that there's going to be resistance. 21 million veterans, all of us trained, all of us know how to fight, many of us are armed. So what they're doing is they're going after the veterans to disarm us and keep us from having our ability to protect our Second Amendment rights and protect the rest of our constitutional rights.
Well, now, basically, is this certainly only people who are getting a payment from the Veterans Administration? Any of these people who are not getting payments from the Veterans Administration? Are they using the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress syndrome? How are they determining that these people are incompetent or incapable?
Well, I'll tell you what we found out. And we, by the way, we filed two requests, Freedom of Information Act requests, to the VA. We sent these requests over a month ago, and we asked them to, number one, give us the criteria for declaring someone incompetent and get appointing a fiduciary. Number two, we asked them to give us the reasoning behind the declaration that these people had to be put on the list of people who cannot own firearms. They refused to reply. This is a violation of federal law. But they refuse to comply, so we know they've got something to hide. But as far as how this diagnosis is made, they are not examined by a psychiatrist. They are not examined by a psychologist. What happens is they get this letter, and then they have to respond to the letter. Now, there is a bureaucrat sitting out there with very limited training. Most of them work from home, so they have no direct supervision. The veteran does not know who this person is. This person never talks to the veteran. Never asked them any questions relevant to the situation, but they are the ones that are making the decision. And they will make this decision on the basis that you have lost a limb in combat, you have minor PTSD that may have been resolved, you had a head injury while you were serving, but you may have short-term memory loss. They will rule you incompetent. If you have minor PTSD, they'll rule you incompetent. If you don't pay your bills on time all the time, they'll rule you incompetent. It's unbelievable what's happening. And like I said, the horror stories continue to flow in.
No, basically, but is this primarily for people who actually are getting veterans benefits, or is it for anybody, who's a veteran, even if they're not getting money from the government?
Well, it's just right now they're after the people in the VA. But we see them broadening this. If they can get away with this, if they are successful, and of course there are millions of veterans out there who rely on their VA benefits or are treated by the VA. You don't have to be getting VA benefits payments. You don't have to be declared disabled here. If you have just qualified because of your service to receive treatment at VA clinics or hospitals, and you're basically have, you know, free treatment for the rest of your life, supposedly, because you're a veteran, then you're subject to this. So at this point, there are millions of people out there who have been subject to this, but we look at it this way. If they get by with doing this, then anybody else receiving any kind of federal benefits, SSI, Social Security, they can move in and start doing the same things for us. And I don't think it's going to take that long before they try to figure out a way to go after veterans who are not receiving benefits directly from the VA.
Well, no, basically the fact that they refuse your Freedom of Information request, isn't that illegal? Can't you bring a lawsuit against the Veterans Administration for that and expose them for the hypocrites that they are?
Well, we can bring a lawsuit to force them to comply. But what we're going to do is we're going to include that in the litigation we're going to have with these veterans, because a lot of these veterans are suffering at this point. I mean, here are people who have fought for our country, who have been told they're going to be declared incompetent if they don't spend thousands of dollars of their own money fighting it. Even then, they probably won't win. Well, they've been declared incompetent, and they've lost their rights. We have some veterans who have fought them and gotten the declaration of incompetency reversed, but they still can't buy guns. They still are on the list of people who cannot own firearms or purchase firearms. So we're going to be filing broad-based claims on behalf of these veterans, and in it we're going to include subpoenas we're going to issue subpoenas to get this information from the VA, because obviously they don't want to give it to us, and as you say, they're hypocrites.
But basically the thing is, Michael, that it is not the function of the federal government to limit the right of the people to keep and bear arms. If the states wants to do that, that's one thing. But the Second Amendment says, you know, it's a limitation on the power of the federal government. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is for the federal government. So the Veterans Administration has no right to be concerned any more than the Obama administration has a right to ask for background checks. You want to do that, you do it at the state level. You do not do it at the national level. So basically, this would be a matter of abridgment of constitution, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is.
And is there anybody individually that you can sue, rather than the Veterans Administration? Can you sue the director personally or the assistant director?
Well, they'll have to be sued, and of course, they will be defended by the federal government. But the VA will be sued, the director will be sued, and this will be part of the lawsuit. But people need to understand, too, that this is not just a federal situation. The Supreme Court has ruled twice on the right to keep and bear arms and said it is an individual right that cannot be infringed upon by the federal government. That was the Heller case. Then a couple of years later, this was just fairly recently, they ruled in the McDonald case that also applies to the state. That under the 14th Amendment, the states cannot infringe on the Second Amendment rights either. So everything that's being done out there, as far as I'm concerned, as a constitutional lawyer, and I've been doing this for 40 years, everything that they're doing at the state level, the local level, or the federal level is a violation of the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Now, the background checks are fine. I have no problem with them as far as keeping convicted felons from owning firearms. All the states have laws saying that they cannot own firearms. And as far as drug users or people who have been declared mentally incompetent to the point where they're a danger to themselves or others, those people should be denied the right to purchase firearms. But the trouble is, they're now denying that right to veterans and other people, I think, who do not belong on the background check list, who are not mentally incompetent, who are not a danger to themselves or others, have not committed a felony, and are not drug users.
Well, hang on. Our guest is Michael Conley, and we'll be back in a moment. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Michael, you go right ahead.
Well, we have, you know, a horrendous situation developing here, and we need people to help us. Right now, I'm looking for attorneys around the country, because some of these suits may be filed. We hope to consolidate this into one or two lawsuits, but that's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars by itself. We're looking for attorneys around the country who will volunteer to work with us on some of these cases, and or who will, you know, volunteer some hours and then work for less than they usually charge, so that we can have the money to represent these people. Because, like I said, we are not going to charge these veterans anything. We are not going to charge their families anything. So we need to raise a lot of money. People, if they want to donate, can go to usjf.net, and they can donate to us.
No, what is the address? Just have to be a little slow when you say it. What is it?
It's usjf.net.
usjs.net, is that right?
USJF, USJF, United States Justice Foundation.
Okay, USJF, okay.
Right, .net. And they can keep up with what we're doing there, because I'm writing articles on my blog. I've had a blog going now for about 4 years on constitutional issues. It's become very, very popular. And I write about nothing but constitutional issues. The last three articles have been on this issue particularly. As we find more information, we update it and let people know. And then we post those articles on the usjf.net, you know, .net website. If people want to read my blog, they can go to www.michaelconnelly.com, and they can read about what we're doing here and read about the other issues, the constitutional issues I raised. But see, the U.S. Justice Foundation, this is not the only thing we're working on. We have in the past several months have filed three briefs in the United States Supreme Court, two in defense of the Defense of Marriage Act, one in defense of the Proposition 8 passed by the people of California. We have filed four briefs so far in courts of appeals around the country, joining with plaintiffs trying to fight this HHS mandate, which says that religious institutions and universities and schools and even corporations owned by families who have religious beliefs that prohibit them from granting free contraception and morning after, or abortion pills, if you will, to their employees for free. They have religious objections to this. The federal government's saying you have to do it anyway. We filed four amicus briefs in courts of appeals in support of the people, including Hobby Lobby and others. And so, and we've got another case we're handling right now, which would be of interest to your listeners because it's also on the Second Amendment. There's a family in New Mexico, the Reese family. This family has been a law-abiding group of citizens for years. They're members of the Tea Party down there. They own a gun store, and they got caught up in Operation Fast and Furious. Basically, the federal government wanted them to sell weapons to straw buyers that they knew were going to turn these weapons over to the drug cartels in Mexico. The Reese family resisted this. So since the whole idea behind Fast and Furious was to go after the gun stores anyway, and wasn't after the cartels at all. Nobody in one of the cartels has ever been arrested as a result of this. The Reese family was charged with 30 counts. The mother, the father, and two sons were all charged with 30 felony counts by the federal government. They went to trial, and one son was exonerated completely.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Michael Conley. Simply, he's from the United States Justice Foundation, and of course, you can go to their website, USJF, the United States Justice Foundation, usjf.com. And basically, he's telling us about some of the cases that they're taking. Certainly, they're filing certainly affidavits as far as certainly the gay marriage, the Defense of Marriage Act, certainly supporting Proposition 8 here in California, which they're trying to overturn, saying, oh, people have a perfect right to be married. Well, they want to live together. That's one thing. But why do they want to call it marriage? They want to create an issue, ladies and gentlemen. They want to create an issue. And I will tell you, most gays really don't want to do this, but there's a small group there that are being manipulated, and they're the ones who are creating this issue. Why? To keep busy minds, keep people all up in arms. And basically, of course, it is not a federal right to marry. There's not a, you can, but basically, but the Justice, U.S. Justice Foundation is involved in those lawsuits. Certainly it is. Certainly involved, and he's telling us about this one family that was involved with this program that the federal government had of getting the gun stores to sell weapons to the drug cartels in Mexico. And this one family would not violate the law and sell weapons that were going to be taken to, for the gun wars in Mexico. Well, basically, the federal government got this program, it's called Fast and Furious. And what they did was they got a lot of these guns to the drug companies down there, the drug cartels, and they were fighting one another, and then they killed a couple of Americans. That's very embarrassing to our own government that they supplied the weapons that were to the drug cartels that were used to kill Americans. So now they're going after one of the one of the gun stores that actually refused to sell the guns. I mean, they knew it was a setup. They knew this Fast and Furious program was a government scam, so they wouldn't go along with it. Well, what happened there, Michael?
Well, basically, like I said, the family was charged with 30 counts each, felony counts, of illegally selling weapons to the drug cartel.
And now, did they sell them, or did they refuse to sell them?
Well, they did. They did not sell they finally were forced to sell some to straw buyers, but they did not do it. They did it at the insistence of the federal government. For the most part, they refused to participate because they knew what was going on here. And what the federal government did was then charge them with these counts. Now, the one son was exonerated, found not guilty by the jury. The mother was found guilty of one paperwork violation, which, you know, is just not filling out the proper forms. And the father and other son were found guilty of several paperwork violations. And they were actually in jail for 17 months before they were let out on bond. But what occurred here, and when we got involved, was a motion for a new trial was filed by their lawyers and pointed out that the key witness, a New Mexico law enforcement official, the key witness against all of the people involved here, the whole Reese family, was someone who, in fact, was under investigation for being a member of one of the drug cartels. He was actually working for them. And so his testimony was worthless. Yet it was used to convict these people, so they've been granted a new trial. The U.S. attorney was angling to try to get appointed. Obama's nominated him to be a judge in the federal court. So he wants to please Obama. He has filed an appeal on this as far as the granting of the new trial. We have stepped in. We are raising money right now to defend this family, not only pay their attorneys, but our attorneys are going in, and I'm included in this. We're going to be actually doing the appeal brief here on behalf of the family. But this is another example of a family that is being persecuted by the federal government simply for exercising their Second Amendment rights and for refusing to do something that would violate federal law. And so the Reese family, again, if people want to help us out on that, they can go to usjf.net. And they can send us money and say, this is for the Reese Family Defense Fund. Because we're going to spend a lot of money on this. If we win, then there may be a new trial. And that's going to cost a lot of money. If we lose the Court of Appeals, and we don't think we will, but then we're going to take it to the Supreme Court. Either way, this family has to be defended. Because what's happening to them is indicative of what this administration is doing to people around the country. They're violating the constitutional rights of individuals. Constantly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I certainly applaud what Michael and the U.S. Justice Foundation is doing, and I hope you will as well, and I hope you want to help them, and basically we'll be talking more about that when we get back. But if you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The organization is U.S. Justice or USJS, is that right?
USJF.net.
USJF. And basically, is that USJF.org?
.net.
USJF.net. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But certainly we encourage people, if you would like to support the U.S. Justice Foundation, and what, Michael, do you want to tell them how to get in touch with you, and certainly about the information they'll be able to get through your organization?
Well, they can go to USJF. United States Justice Foundation, USJF.net, and they can find out about what we're doing, and not just on these cases involving the Second Amendment, but on other cases important to the Constitution. And they can support us financially, or they can just keep up with what's going on. And if you're a veteran out there, or if you have an issue of any kind involving the Constitution, if you feel like your rights are being violated, you can contact me through the USJF.net, and let me know what your situation is. If we think we can help you, we will get involved, and we will represent you for free. Now, we can't take every case that comes our way, but we do look at everything. And I'll look at everything that comes that you send in, and it may take me a while to get back to you because we're getting so many inquiries right now, but we will get back to you and let you know if we can work with you and handle your case. So, you know, we're being inundated right now with a number of situations around the country where people are losing their Second Amendment rights, their First Amendment rights, their Fourth Amendment rights, their property rights, their due process is being violated repeatedly. So that's the way they can get a hold of us.
Well, now, basically, there's so much of what the current Obama administration is doing that's illegal, unconstitutional, and basically, of course, I would think that certainly Obamacare would be certainly a perfect example of something that there is no justification in the certainly in the federal laws for the federal government to provide health care or to regulate health care. And basically, of course, Justice Roberts had come up with some sort of an absurd justification. Well, Obamacare was all right because Congress has the right to tax. Where do we really stand? Certainly, I've heard conflicting reports about the Justice Roberts' decision that actually much of what he said would lay the foundation for other lawsuits. Are you acquainted at all with this issue of Obamacare and Justice Roberts' decision on it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was one of the first people to, or maybe the first person, period, to read the original proposal. It was House Bill 3200, and I read it back in August of 2009, and I wrote an article, which eventually became the basis for my blog, and I wrote an article saying that it was unconstitutional, that it was not about health care at all, that it was a massive transfer of power from the Congress to the executive branch of government, which the Congress didn't have the power to do in the first place, because there's nothing in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution that gives the Congress the power to regulate health care. So I said this was unconstitutional. I said it would give free medical care to illegal aliens, and I was attacked for that. Well, we know now that that is the case. They are getting free medical care through these clinics that have been set up. $700 million was taken out of Medicare, which people in this country, the elderly people, had earned. They put their money into that. $700 million was basically stolen by the Obama administration to fund the clinics out west and in the southwest that treat immigrants, supposedly, and provide free treatment to immigrants. But here's the bottom line. The people that work in those clinics are not allowed to ask if they're here legally. They have to treat them regardless. So they're getting the free treatment. So I read every bill that came out after that, every revision. I read the 2,700-page bill that was finally passed, and I talked about how it was going to increase premiums, it was going to reduce the availability of health care. All of the things that I said were going to happen are happening. Now, what Justice Roberts did with that opinion was, I think, horrendous. I think it was a bad law, but it basically inadvertently possibly opened the door to a critical point here, and that is, if this is in fact a tax, in other words, the penalties that people are going to be charged if they don't get the health care the government tells them to get, if it is in fact a tax, all revenue collecting bills, all tax bills, must originate in the House of Representatives and the Congress. Now, the original version of Obamacare was offered, that was House Bill 3200, was offered in the House, but it was later dropped, and the Senate came up with the final version that was passed. And that final version is what the law is. Now, a group called the Pacific Legal Foundation, which is based out of California, just like the U.S. Justice Foundation is, has filed a suit challenging this and claiming that the entire law has to be thrown out because of the fact that it says it's a tax, and it did not originate in the House of Representatives. We're going to be filing an amicus brief in support of them in that case once the time comes. Right now, they have not even had a hearing on it yet, so we're not involved in that end of it. But we will be involved, and this is, you know, something of critical importance, because I think that there's a good possibility here that the Supreme Court should strike down Obamacare simply on that basis, the fact that that is a clear violation of the Constitution, because the Constitution clearly says that all revenue-producing legislation must originate in the House of Representatives.
Now, what about the decision by the Justice Roberts saying that basically the reason that it was all right for Congress to do this, Obamacare, was because it was a tax, and because Congress has the ability to tax, and ignoring the fact that Congress has nothing to do with health care, but suddenly justifying Obamacare because Congress has the ability to tax? Isn't that sort of a fallacious argument?
Oh, it was, definitely. I disagree with it totally. I think it's a bizarre argument, as a matter of fact. The one thing that the justices did that ruled in favor of Obamacare in that decision was they said it was not allowable under the Commerce Clause. And that's what I was saying from the beginning, that it was not allowable under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. And if it wasn't allowable under the Commerce Clause, it was not allowable at all. Because if Congress didn't have the right to tinker with health care in this country, to pass something taking sweeping control of the health care industry in this country, then it didn't matter if this was a tax or a fine. It was still a violation of the Constitution, because Article 1, Section 8, which sets forth the basically what Congress can do and cannot do, it sets forth the restrictions on Congress. But see, people forget, excuse me, that the Constitution was written to establish a limited form of government. It was not written to establish a form of government that was going to be overwhelmingly in control, and particularly in control of the states and control of the people. Even if the Constitution was written, there were a number of people out there, our forefathers, who felt like it did not protect our rights enough, so they passed the Bill of Rights. Now, I've written a booklet called Our Constitution, which people can go to my personal website, www.michaelconnolly.jigsy.com, or they can go to the Constitutional Law Alliance website, which is at www.constitution.jigsy.com. And they can order copies of this little booklet, 77 pages long. I take each article and each section, each amendment of the Constitution, put them as they were originally written, and then add my comments about what they really mean. And this is being purchased in mass quantities. The book was only $6 if you order on the internet. And, there are substantial discounts for large orders. And we had, for example, one Rotary Club in South Texas ordered 500 copies to distribute in schools in 6 school districts. Other schools are ordering it because basically people don't understand the Constitution. They were not taught it in schools. They're not being taught it now, for sure. They're being taught it's archaic, it's out of date, there's some kind of living document that can be changed at the whim of the courts, at the whim of Obama. And the fact of the matter is, the Constitution sets up a limited form of government. And the Bill of Rights, in fact, one of the things that's in my booklet that you rarely see anywhere else, it's not in the textbook, is the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Most people won't even know there's a preamble to the Bill of Rights. We know there's a preamble to the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, but not to the Bill of Rights. That preamble basically says that the rights delineated in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, are not rights that are given to us by the government. Because if we acknowledge that the government gives us those rights, then we also acknowledge that they can take those rights away. Instead, the rights in the Bill of Rights are God-given rights. They inherently belong to us, the American people, and the government cannot take them away. And those include the right to free speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, the Fourth Amendment freedoms from illegal searches and seizures, the Fifth Amendment due process clause, the Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial. On and on.
Well, I think that one reason, of course, that they don't show us the preamble is because it mentions God. And the people who are running this country today, the media, the people who are running both political parties and the banks and the corporations and the educational system, the last thing they want is for people to understand that our founding fathers believed our freedoms came from God. That's the last thing they would want. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Washington State. And I would just simply point out one thing about Obamacare. Well, basically, they say, look, people need health care. And there's no question, people need health care. But when I entered medicine back in 1960, basically when I started out in 1953, when I completed my internship, basically everybody in America had health care and they had good health care. And if they could afford it, they paid for it. And if they couldn't, then there was a county hospital in every one of the 3,000 counties in this country. And basically the local community provided for the health care and you paid what you could. Basically what they're doing now is moving into certainly rationing. Everybody knows we need health care. But the question is, who would provide it? And believe me, when the federal government provides it, the federal government is already beginning to talk about rationing the access to health care, rationing Social Security to the elderly. And when you get to be 85, they're going to give you less Social Security. And when you get to be 85, you're going to get less health care. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're talking about are death panels. That's what this is all about. It's limiting access to health care. And don't let the hypocrites get away with it. We've got Ron on the line right now from Washington, one of our favorite guests. Hi, Ron. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, one of the comments I have, why hasn't Congress started instituting contempt of Congress charges against some of these government officials, maybe even impeachment proceedings? If they came up and lied to the Congress, why do they tolerate it?
Well, I think that the problem is that, and I feel like the House of Representatives, they should be introducing impeachment proceedings. I guess not only Obama, but Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Eric Holder, Janet Napolitano, because
don't forget Joe Biden, who just this last week called for a new world order. And basically, you can't have a new world order and have the United States. He's sworn to uphold the Constitution, and yet he's talking about doing away with our sovereignty. He is a traitor. He's a traitor. That's Joe Biden, and so is Barack Obama. Anything else, Ron?
Yes, I was at a Republican Party function, and the only thing that you would think is wrong is that the budget needs to get tweaked, and if you let the Republicans tweak it, we'll have a balanced budget in 10 years.
Yeah, no, nothing else. Right, they're going to cut. We have a $1 trillion a year deficit, and they're going to cut $1 trillion from the deficit over the next 10 years. If we have a $1 trillion deficit a year, and they're going to cut $1 trillion over 10 years, how is that going to give us a balanced budget? Anything else, Ron?
Well, just none of these other issues. Our loss of our sovereignty, the oligarchy that our republic is being turned into, none of this is even addressed.
You're absolutely right. We got a real problem. We got two parties controlled by the same people. As you know, the Brotherhood of Darkness is there. Hey, God bless, Ron. We're just about out of time. Thanks for calling.
Let's go to
Mary calling from Ohio. Mary, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I was wondering, do you think that Justice Roberts knew what he was doing when he declared that a tax, knowing that we have smart lawyers and they'd figure it out and work on getting the whole ball of wax thrown out?
Well, you know, I've heard that theory, and it's certainly a possibility, because Justice Roberts is a very intelligent individual.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's certainly a possibility, but I can't confirm it or deny it at this point.
Sure.
The only one that knows that is Justice Roberts.
Okay, fine. Mary, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay,
thank
God.
You. Thanks for all your work.
God bless you. Let's go to Mary calling us from, Joe calling us from New Jersey. Joe, do you have a question for our guest?
Okay, here's my question. Basically, I remember your interview, Dr. Stan, with Roger Sales and his book, From Sovereign to Serf, Government by Treachery and Deception of Words. And I got that book. And basically what he's hanging his premise on is that when the 14th Amendment was placed into the Constitution, it determined right then and there and they bundled everybody in our nation. And it says what? Those persons born and naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So it made everybody a subject and no longer constitutional rights, but civil rights.
All right. Let's. Did you have a comment on that at all, Michael?
Well, the 14th Amendment has been interpreted, reinterpreted over the years. Basically, the 14th Amendment has said that, you know, is now interpreted as saying that the states have to abide by the federal Constitution. But what you're talking about as far as making us, you know, subjects to the federal government, that is something that we have to avoid. We have to avoid submitting ourselves and saying that we are subjects to anybody. We are constitutional citizens of the United States. We are under the Constitution. The 10th Amendment says that if powers are not granted specifically in the Constitution to the federal government, then those powers are reserved to the states and the people. And that's what we're losing sight of at this point.
And that's absolutely right. Hey, Joe, God bless. Thanks so much for calling. Well, we've got Bruce calling in from Spokane. Bruce, you have a question or comment?
Well, I do. I'm one of those veterans they speak about. I've got to travel the world, and I've got the scars to prove it. And I'm a disabled veteran, and if you can, I know that it's just nearly impossible for anybody outside a veteran to imagine what it takes to go through the Veterans Administration, the system. It's so frustrating. Some people have committed suicide. Some people have died waiting for their benefits or their health care.
Well, basically, as you know, Bruce, we've lost far more veterans from suicide than we lost in battle in both Afghanistan and Iraq.
And they've committed suicide right here in the Veterans Administration in Spokane, right in the parking lot.
Okay.
Shame on them.
Basically, what, of course, you can do if you have a question, why don't you get in touch with the United States Justice Foundation, USJF.net, USJF.net, and certainly if you have a problem, why, certainly they're there to help.
Okay, well, are we off air right now?
No, we're on the air.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, well, that's fine, too. I just wanted to make sure that the regular listening audience kind of got an inkling of what's going on. Yet we take care of and feed all the riff and the raff that come in from other countries to the absolute detriment of our veterans.
Amen to that. God bless. Thanks for calling, Bruce. And
right.
Michael, you're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners? And I want you to tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing. This is the first time. Have we talked before? I don't recall.
No, we haven't.
Well, I think we're going to be talking again because I applaud what you're doing and I fully support what you're doing. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners before we let you go?
Well, just to say to Bruce that we are looking into other aspects of veterans care at this point, what's happening to our veterans. We think the death panels are being instituted in the VA system because we've got veterans here in the Dallas area that are waiting 6 or more months to get chemotherapy for their cancer. And this is another horrendous thing. So, you know, we are going to be fighting every step of the way. As I said, I'm a veteran. I have sons serving. I have a number of friends who are veterans. The U.S. Justice Foundation is going to be fighting for the veterans. If you are a veteran and you are having any kind of situation with the VA, whether it involves your Second Amendment rights, your treatment, or anything else, contact us at usjf.net. Let us know what's going on. And if we can represent you, we will do so for free.
God bless you for everything you're doing. Please keep in touch with us, Michael.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Appreciate you having me.
Good night. God bless. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bruce called in from Spokane, and certainly he's a veteran, and he was saying that certainly everything that Michael Connelly is saying about the way veterans are being treated by the Veterans Administration is true. The veterans are committing suicide. In fact, we've lost more veterans from suicide since we began the war in Iraq than we lost in Iraq and Afghanistan, killed at over 6,000 killed in battle. far more than that, have committed suicide, in large part because of the way they're treated by the Veterans Administration. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems. You go back to the veterans, certainly, of the first Gulf War. And there were 695,000 veterans. And certainly, of those, well over 100,000, maybe 150,000 are already dead. Ladies and gentlemen, these are young men. Why is this happening? They were poisoned over there with the depleted uranium, and they were poisoned by the oil fires. They were poisoned by Gulf War illness. They know what they've done, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want you to know. We've got a 4-tape set of the Gulf War illness. If you don't believe that our government kills its own men, you need to get our 4-CD set on the USS Liberty. The USS Liberty. They wanted to kill everybody on that, certainly on that ship. And they would have if the Israeli flyers of fighting the bombers had done what they were told to do, but they refused to sink the Liberty, and the Liberty survived, no thanks to McNamara and to President Johnson, who wanted to kill all of those men. We sent 58,000 Americans to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam in a war that they had no reason at all we could have won it in 6 weeks, I was told that, by four-star Marine General Lew Walt and by Ambassador William H. Sullivan, Ambassador Laos. They both said we could have won in 6 weeks. Why didn't we? They wanted to kill our boys, ladies and gentlemen, a great diversion. And we're watching our boys dying overseas and people out marching for and against the war. And at the same time, we were losing our home, our freedom at home, because this Vietnam was a great diversion. So they could bring in the Great Society. If you doubt that was the objective, read the lead article, January 1967, Foreign Affairs magazine, written by McGeorge Bundy. The article is called The End of Either Or. The End of Either Or. And you'll find out that's exactly what it was. It was a diversion, and that's exactly what they're going to be doing. With the war in Korea, that we may kill a few hundred million people before this is over. We killed 20 million in World War I, 60 million in World War II. And all during World War II, American corporations were in Germany building the weapons for the Nazis. You doubt that. You need to get the 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, my interviews with John Loftus. You need to get his book, America's Nazi Secret. That's your assignment, get those book, America's Nazi Secret, and the 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, and find out how we financed the Nazis all during the Second World War. And, of course, one of the major banks, there were 10 banks involved. One was Brown Brothers Harriman. And, of course, on the board were Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker, for whom George Herbert Walker Bush was named. If you doubt that, certainly go up on the Internet. You'll find out that Prescott Bush was indicted for treason at the end of the Second World War. Prescott Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, was indicted for treason for helping the Nazis. But you're never going to hear the rest of the story, how Adolf Hitler was helped to escape to South America. That's the book, Grey Wolf. Grey Wolf, certainly, you need to get my four tape set, Operation Caperclip, how we helped all the Nazis to escape 1,000 to America and 10 to 30,000 throughout the rest of the world. And much of this is covered in John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret. But you'll certainly want to get my four tape set on Operation Keelhaul, how we helped the Nazi war criminals and Dr. Mengele and the others and Adolf Hitler to escape. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we really need your help so we can maintain our network of stations and outlets. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we were involved in these spirits of battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. In a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies.
and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is April the 9th. Oh, my. Wow. It's gone by so fast. It is Tuesday, April 9, 2013. You're in the right place. That is, if you want to know how to take care of yourself better, and you want to survive whatever, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be talking to Perrier, a favorite of the Power Hour. Clay, are you ready for this? For West Nile virus? Clay for radiation? One of the most important items you can possibly have. And we're going to be talking with her. Also, in this first hour, we're going to talk about ginger. It is stronger than we ever imagined and does more than we ever imagined because, well, a lot of these natural items are just now being developed. So we're going to have a good time today. Along with that, we're going to get into 25 things you should do to be prepared for the coming economic collapse.